Welcome. We're so thankful that you've chosen to join us here on Digging Deeper, a ministry of Green Valley Baptist Church in Lebanon, Virginia. And I'm Dr. Don R. Zampona, the pastor of the great church there at Green Valley in Lebanon. Well, friends, tonight we come to the second of Jesus Christ's seven letters to the churches from the great book of Revelation. Now, I want to remind you as we begin here tonight that each of these letters have a threefold interpretation and application. First, they're contemporary, meaning they had a direct message to the local churches of John's day. Second, they're composite, meaning that each one is a composite picture of the church. And there is something in these seven letters to the churches that is applicable to all churches in all ages. And then third, they are chronological because the panoramic history of the church is given in these seven letters from Pentecost to Perusa, from the upper room to the upper air. There are, in case you're not aware of it, seven distinct periods of church history. And last week, Ephesus, the first church, represents the apostolic church, the church at its best. Well, tonight we're going to come to the church at Smyrna. And I'm going to be reading here from Revelation chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Well, the city of Smyrna is still in existence today, and the theme of these verses is noted by Jesus Christ's acknowledgement that the church at Smyrna is a faithful congregation undergoing persecution. It has a Turkish name, Izmir, which may lead you astray, but it is the same city. It has been continuously inhabited since the time that it was founded, and Smyrna represents the martyred church and covers the time period of A.D. 100 to A.D. 314. From the death of John to the Edict of Tolerance by Constantine in A.D. 314 that ended the persecution of Christians. Would you join me in prayer? Father God, tonight as we study this church, Lord, we know that there are many around the world who name Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and tonight, Lord, they are suffering some intense persecution. Lord, even here in this nation, we are beginning to see the signs of persecution coming upon the church. And Lord, we pray that we would be as the city of Smyrna, that we would be as the church at Smyrna, that we may stand strong in these evil days, that we may speak the truth in love and trust you to provide salvation for those who hate you presently, for those who are against you. Lord, we pray your will be done. We pray for your grace upon all. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, according to Fox's Book of Martyrs, 5 million believers died for their faith for the Lord Jesus Christ during this period. Now here we have the Lord Jesus Christ addressed to this church, and I want you to note as I read it, it was all commendatory. First, Jesus Christ says, I know thy tribulation, and friend, tribulation means trouble. And the church at Smyrna suffered much trouble at the hands of the Roman emperors for the sake of Jesus Christ. And the word, the name Smyrna means bitter, and is related to the word myrrh. And the church at Smyrna was persecuted for their faith. And this knowledge may be why the Lord Jesus Christ emphasized first his death and resurrection. As he opened his message to this church, This also lets us know that no matter what experience God's people may have, the Lord Jesus Christ can identify with us in any experience you or I may be undergoing presently or in the future. The members at Smyrna were not having an easy time of it. And you may be a Christian tonight somewhere in this world, and you are not having an easy time of it. And the reason the church at Smyrna wasn't having an easy time of it is because they refused to compromise. And whenever you refuse to compromise, you can rest assured you will face persecution. But remember this, to those who refuse to compromise, when faced with persecution, there is no condemnation. And the church today needs to heed the message. We are not to bow down to the God of this age. We are not to give in to the policies of those who hate God. We are not to turn away from the Word of God. We're not to try to appease the people of the world. We're to try to win the people of the world. And you will not win the people of the world by looking like the world, acting like the world, or behaving like the world. You can only win the people of the world if you will live for Jesus Christ. And so do not compromise. Don't compromise your faith. Don't compromise your position in Christ. Don't compromise the Bible. Stand strong. Stand up and stand tall with Jesus Christ. Because if you stand strong in the face of persecution, remember this, there is no condemnation. Remember that, dear Christian, and hold on to that truth, because days of persecution are fast approaching Christians in our present world. And it's the reason why the Lord Jesus Christ says nothing negative about this church. The church refused to say, Caesar is Lord. Smyrna was an important center of the Roman imperial cult, and anyone refusing to acknowledge Caesar as Lord would be excluded from the guilds. And this would mean unemployment, and it would mean poverty. And so Jesus Christ mentions here their poverty. The believers at Smyrna did not have much in the way of material blessings. And the word poverty here means abject poverty. In other words, they possessed practically nothing. This was a time when the wealthy believed their property would be confiscated because of their faith. But thou art rich denotes the spiritual wealth of the church. They were blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus because they lived for eternal value. And I want to note here for just a moment the contrast to the church at Laodicea. To the church at Laodicea, Jesus said, you think you are rich, but you are really poor, and you do not even know it. The Christians in Smyrna were rich beyond rich because they lived for values that can never be taken away. This is a church that was storing their treasure up in heaven. And friend, they were suffering. Their suffering for Jesus Christ only increased their riches. It's important as we think about the church at Smyrna to remember there was also a large Jewish community in Smyrna that was thriving. Now the Jews, of course, are God's chosen people. The Jews did not have to patronize the local imperial cult because their religion, the Jewish religion, was accepted by Rome. Yet these Jews would not cooperate with the Christian faith. So from both Gentiles and Jews, the Christians in Smyrna received both slander and suffering. And yet our Lord's word to them was a word of encouragement. He said, as he says to us today, fear none of those things. Friend, don't fear what the world can do to you. Fear God and keep his commandments. That's what we need to be doing in this world today. We need to repent. We need to turn back to God. We need to fear God and keep his commandments. Fear none of those things. It is the encouragement of the Lord to his own in the midst of persecution. Family and friends, history tells us that multitudes went to their death singing their praises to Almighty God. And we must always bear in mind our struggles are not with flesh and blood, but with our mortal enemy, Satan, who loves to use evil people to accomplish his purposes. And that is exactly what is going on in these United States today. The devil is alive and he is well, and he is using evil people to accomplish his sinful purposes. And the Jewish synagogue in Smyrna was really a synagogue of Satan. And any religious group that does not acknowledge Jesus Christ as God's Son is certainly in the devil's camp. And the Lord Jesus Christ labels the devil as being responsible for the suffering of the saints at Smyrna. Now he says something important here. He says, "Ye shall have tribulation 10 days. By the use of these words, the Lord Jesus Christ reassures the church at Smyrna that he knew the devil's plans and that he, the Lord Jesus Christ, was in complete control of the situation. Now, friend, wherever you are, whatever is going on in your world or even in this world today, you need to understand something. Though it may appear that things are out of control, God is in control. And we need not worry about what takes place in this world. Jesus Christ is in complete control. History reveals that there were 10 intense periods of persecution the church at Smyrna endured, brought on by these 10 Roman emperors. Those 10 emperors are Nero, Domitian, Trajan, Marcus Aurelius, Severus, Maximinus, Decius, Valerian, Aurelian, and Diocletian, the worst emperor of all. And some of the believers would be imprisoned, and some would be tried as traitors to Rome. And yet their tribulation would not be long. To the Bible, 10 days signifies a brief time according to Genesis 24:55 and Acts 25:6. And you may well remember that Paul was beheaded under Nero's reign. John was exiled during the reign of Domitian. Ignatius was burned at the stake during the reign of Trajan. Polycarp was martyred during the reign of Marcus Aurelius. And Diocletian was the worst emperor of them all. And again, according to Fox's Book of Martyrs, 5 million believers died for Jesus Christ during this period. The important thing for them to remember was faithfulness. They were to remain standing true to and for Jesus Christ, no matter what the government might threaten to do. The words are, "Be thou faithful unto death." And they were. They were martyrs for him. He promised them a crown of life, and they lived for it. Even gave their lives for it. And he is addressing all the believers in Smyrna, which was known as the crown city. The Lord Jesus Christ has special crowns for those who suffer. And I know many wonderful saints who are going to get that crown today. Listen, if you are suffering at the hands of someone tonight, whether it be a government, and wonder if God cares, take heart, because he has something good for you in eternity. You will get something that no one else will. You will get something that no one else except others in your condition will get. God's word says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." That crown of life means you are really going to live it up someday. What a glorious prospect for invalids and those on beds of pain today. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt in the second death. Woo. The second death refers to enjoying the sense of full gain when Jesus Christ separates believers from unbelievers at the end of the age. Dwight L. Moody put it like this: he who is born once will die twice, but he who's born twice would die once. And if the rapture occurs during his lifetime, he won't even have to die that one time. The second death is in the death of which no believer will ever experience. The first death concerns the body. The second death concerns the soul and the spirit. It is eternal separation from God. And praise God, no believer will have to undergo that. No believer will ever be separated from the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Lord Jesus Christ promised this when he said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." For the saved man, it is all hallelujah and amen, no matter what persecution we may face. Ours is to remain faithful no matter what, because he who has called us was faithful, and he will see to it that we make it safely home. Now, friends, in this world today, our job as a child of God is to remain faithful. Some of us listening tonight may one day be called to be a martyr for Jesus Christ. Some of us here are going to face intense persecution. You may have to suffer for your faith in Jesus Christ. But remember this: ours is to remain faithful to Jesus Christ no matter what. Do not fear what man can do to you. Fear God. Jesus and the Father are one, and he who has called us is faithful, and he will see it that we all make it safely home to heaven. Our God is an awesome God, and his word is sure. His word is true. His word is ever, ever faithful. Hallelujah. Amen. Our God is an awesome God. His wonders we behold. How great a King we serve. He is faithful. Let us be faithful unto the end.